What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
One other transaction around the league today is that the Patriots claimed Tommy DeVito, former Giants quarterback. This gives us what we need, which is more of a chance to comment on Tommy DeVito in the world and his agent. Do we want that? I guess it's not bad. The agent's a character. Will he ever see the field? Who knows? I'm a big fan of our next guest. Joining me now on the Western Hotline, Steve Palazzolo, Check the Mic with Sam Monson. My favorite podcast about football that is not about fantasy, that is not centered on fantasy, is Check the Mic. And Steve, I don't know if this is weird or not, but like, sometimes you think about a player or whatever. It doesn't even have to be sports, but you just remember the first time you heard his name. And for me, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt was on your show with Sam when, before the draft, you guys each ranked your top 10 running backs. And Sam included Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, who I had never heard of. And you loved it. You're like, oh, you did it. You put him on your list. And look at life now, Steve. I mean, He went from not drafted in fantasy to like round seven.
I love it. I love that we could bring some depth to the fans and the listeners on Check the Mic. And he's a shifty running back that fits what Washington wants to do. And he's the hottest name this preseason among, you know, late round rookies.
Do you see him, and we'll get to the Bills, of course, and other topics, but do you see him being like relevant right away, or is he still going to have to work his way in? You know, Eckler is there, even Chris Rodriguez.
I think they have roles for all three of those guys. Different skill sets. Eckler is a veteran, good pass catcher. Chris Rodriguez, more of a bruiser. I love what he does as far as forcing missed tackles. And then Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, or Bill Krosky Merritt, just what he's able to do in space. And it's still a spread-centric offense. Jaden Daniels is a run threat. They create opportunities for running backs to get into space because of all the misdirection and the fact that defenses have to account for Jaden Daniels. So yeah, I think Krosky Merritt has a path to the field, using him on more space type plays, and he does a good job creating on his own, which is I think a part of the reason why they ended up moving on from Brian Robinson. So I think there's a world where all three are sharing carries and sharing situational football there in Washington.
Well, great. I'm vested. And again, it traces to you guys, because you do these rookie drafts and you get to the fourth round and, you know, who knows, what are the odds for anybody to hit? But I drafted this guy a lot, just thinking like, you know, and there were plenty of guys like this, right? In this draft, there's talent here. Bashel Tootin, Krosky Merritt, several others. There's talent here if they get the right opportunity.
No, there absolutely is, and especially with running back, right? That whole debate about, you know, do you take an Ashton Jeanty or an Amarian Hampton in the first round, or can you get value later in the draft? It's not easy necessarily to get day three running backs to come in and have success, but it may be easier than other positions, and you're seeing some of that around the league.
Right. I was hoping, and I might be just selfishly hoping because it's fantasy for me, and James Cook was leaving us to wonder about his future, that the Bills would have dabbled at that position this year. They've, you know, consistently drafted running backs, like kind of perennially, never in the first round. But they didn't think they needed to. They go into the season with the same three, Cook, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson. If you had a feeling that goes back before the draft or just now, Steve, do you think they're thin there? Or do you think they're fine or what?
I think they're in good shape, especially, I mean, if they had confidence that they were going to get Cook and that there wasn't going to be an issue, I'm good with that three. And again, I'm a big fan of different skill sets and being able to use guys in different ways schematically. And they have that. Cook, of course, more of the workhorse and has the speed element. Ray Davis, who's just, you know, so difficult to tackle. And then Ty Johnson, the number of times that Ty Johnson is open down the field in the pass game was just unbelievable last year. So using him in the pass game the way they did, I like where they are. And then you throw in, you know, a Reggie Gilliam just to mix things up as a fullback tight end hybrid. I think they're good in the backfield there and like how the Bills are set up.
The Johnson point, some separation ability there, especially for a running back, and then some scheme. The Bills receivers, Steve, have a reputation for not being able to separate. Does Johnson deserve a lot of the credit for what he was able to do, or is it more just, you know, scheme or whatever else?
It's a little bit of that. I think Brady does a good job scheming things open and giving them those wheel routes and vertical routes. And again, you know, I think offense in today's NFL is about having multiple options and really stressing the defense. And while the Bills, I know there's plenty of debates about, do they have a great X receiver? Or do they have the one guy that you need to keep an eye on like they had maybe with Stephon Diggs? What the Bills do really well is have a whole bunch of difficult to cover players, whether it's their tight ends who are hybrid slot receivers, whether it's Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman and his size, add Josh Palmer to the mix this year. And that just frees up the running backs when you have to account for that many weapons in the pass game. So using Ty Johnson on the vertical routes, I think a lot of it was scheme and just being a part of this deep group of pass catchers. And part of it is just a skill set that the Bills have been able to tap into.
And of course, plus having to worry about Allen taking off and then running over
right.
you. That's a pretty...
Every single play, whether it's Allen as a design runner, as a scrambler, or as a passer, right? So this is all of the different ways you can keep defenses off balance. And I think the Bills have done a really nice job leveraging all those different options, especially with Joe Brady as the play caller these last couple of years.
Do you happen to think that whether the Bills should do more or less running with Allen? I mean, I think there's an argument for either. Maybe they've hit the sweet spot. He's 29 now. Eventually there'll be a day where I think you probably have to rein it in, but I don't know that we're there yet. How would you, if at all, want to see them change how they use him?
Every year my analysis is usually I want to see the Bills win without him. Not because they need to, but it's a better indicator of what they are as a team. And then one of those, hey, let's break in case of emergency. And that could be within a game. That could be, you know, it could be a game against the Jets or the Patriots, but it's, you know, 3rd and 4 and you need it and you give it to Josh Allen. And then in the Chiefs games and Ravens games and in the playoffs, you use him a little bit more. And I think that's probably the best balance. I also think the Bills are in this world where we grew up in New England, so I watched the Red Sox Yankees documentary, the Red Sox documentary from 2004, and how they were for years trying to get over the hump and win a World Series, of course, and trying to beat the Yankees. And they figured out how to do it in the postseason, right? They got past, you know, over that hump. And I'm wondering if the Bills or the Ravens, too, have to figure that out, right? How do you beat the Chiefs? What do you do differently? And so there's definitely elements of this where I wonder how much the Bills can save for the playoffs. Not saying you're going to sleepwalk through the regular season or that it's easy or that you don't want the number one seed. But at the end of the day, you have to beat Kansas City and you're going to have to beat Baltimore again and you're going to have to beat these best teams. So saving your best for those times, saving your best plays, if there's any way to possibly do that, which is challenging in football, I think the Bills are at that point where they're good enough to get through the AFC East but have to win those games in the postseason. So save your best for then, and that's when you unlock maybe – extra Josh Allen plays or just general best plays generally across the board as far as offense goes.
Mm-hmm. With Steve Palazzolo, I'm Mike Shope here on WGR. You know what? I love that point, and it's something we've talked about these last few years because the Bills are a pretty – I mean, they're easily a candidate to be talked about that way. We had Belichick and the Patriots for 20 years. Like, do they even – I mean, I don't know if you might know what the reality was there, but it was easy to suspect they could slow play the regular season. And you know, maybe the Bills could do that. I just think, Steve, like, last year was the year for that. You know, they clinched the division on December 1st. And right. They were still chasing the one seed, and they were right, I would think, obviously, to go for that. But then here comes Kansas City for the fourth time in 5 years, and they could not get the Chiefs off the field. And that, for me, was really demoralizing about the big picture here is, I mean, they have poured a ton of investment into defense. And just like one of these years, it needs to be enough.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't think they need to overhaul everything. I mean, I like that Brandon Bean hasn't said, hey, we're changing everything, right? We're getting rid of – they reset a little bit before last season. They got younger, got rid of some veterans who happened to be back. And I think that was the right move for sustained success. But, yeah, at some point it's got to click. So it's not like a complete overhaul from an organization perspective, but it definitely felt like in the draft and in some of their offseason moves, they said, we're at this never again territory where we don't want to have a thin defensive line going into the playoffs. We can't have a thin secondary going into the playoffs. Obviously, unfortunate injury with the Benford during the yep. playoff game there when it seemed like they wanted to play man coverage. It did seem like they were going to change things up and say, okay, we're challenging Chiefs receivers. Go ahead, try to beat us over the top. You haven't done it all season to anyone. And they just weren't able to really execute the game plan that they wanted going in. So it does seem like they're trying to say, look, the foundation's so strong. It's all about depth now. Love the way they drafted from a depth perspective, different body types up front perspective. But I do wonder how much you can save for the playoffs. It's really just a luck of the draw thing, most likely, the fact that the Bills are able to beat the Chiefs in the regular season and then struggle in the playoffs and, you know, an attrition thing. But any way that you can find a way, they have to try it now.
Yeah. One more thought on that AFC Championship, since we're talking about that. I mean, the game ends essentially on a Bills fourth down play where they were just, I guess, like, is it safe to say, like, just not prepared for what they got on that play. I'm hoping you can see it. You know, thinking back to Chris Jones and the Chiefs yeah. blitzing from Allen's right, and then it's sort of a desperation heave. It's off Kincaid's hands, but that's how it ends. How fair is it for you to point to Spagnuolo versus McDermott as a key difference in these games? You make a fair point about Benford. I mean, he was great, and that was a big loss. Elam couldn't hold up. But we hear this a lot from fans. It's like, in the end, again, Mahomes has not thrown an interception against the Bills in four playoff games. Is there something that they're missing versus what Kansas City is able to do? The Bills got their points in that game, but in the end, the critical moment, it was theirs.
Yeah, I mean, I think Spags deserves a ton of credit for everything that the Chiefs have done. I mean, on one hand, you can go back and say the Chiefs are a couple plays away from not having all of those Super Bowls, to be honest. They were one play away from losing to San Francisco, and Spags has a blitz that gets in Brock Purdy's face and bats down a pass on third down, sets them up to get back into the game. And then the same thing last year. Spags has been doing this for a few years now. So, yeah, I mean, they've had the advantage there with Spags, right? So there is this element of, you know, from a game plan perspective, how do you change? I really thought Buffalo was trying. I thought they were saying, we're going to play more man coverage than we ever have against Kansas City, and then just couldn't hang with the injury. But, yeah, those are the interesting turning points that come up. And for whatever reason, it does feel like the Chiefs, I used to say last year they were calibrated to win by three. Whether they were playing the Raiders or playing the Bills, right? They found a way to win by a score and by a tight margin. And normally that's difficult to sustain. And normally that regresses, but they have done a great job in Kansas City. Mahomes has a great feel for game management. Spags has a great feel for when to send, when to sit back, when to mix things up and attack protection. And it often comes down to just those handful of plays.
Yeah. And then they'll get the blocked field goal against Denver or whatever else needs to happen. I mean,
The Raiders just dropped the snap. They were in field goal range to beat them on Black Friday, and they just dropped a snap. So there's luck in there for Kansas City, too. But, again, they always find a way to make fewer mistakes than their opponent more often than not.
Yeah. What is your thought on them this year? Because, like, as you've said, this one is a tester. We have these teams that are outliers in close games. The Bills had a stretch a couple of years ago where they lost all the close games. They've almost never in these 5 years lost badly. It's kind of amazing. But, you know, they had a season where five or six one-score games went the wrong way. Would you expect Kansas City to at least somewhat regress? I feel like I need to say that, not from the Bills standpoint, but just from a math one, that it shouldn't be possible to just continue on that kind of road.
On paper, Kansas City should regress because of the one-score games, because of some of the turnover, right? They lose Joe Tooney, one of the best guards in the NFL. They lose some depth on the defensive side of the ball. But I really liked the way they drafted, and I really liked some of the free agents that they sprinkled in. And then when you look at their offense, and I don't mean to overrate preseason games, but the left tackle issue, I mean, the left tackle situation has been a major issue for Kansas City. And if you go back and look at all of Kansas City, all of Mahomes' worst games the last few years, it has coincided with awful left tackle play. And now they've got first-rounder Josh Simmons, who was injured and wasn't even expected to play in training camp and be ready for the start of the season. And he's out there day one of camp, and he looks the part, and he looks ready to step in as their franchise left tackle. And for whatever it was worth, for whatever it's worth against the Bears the other night, they looked unstoppable again. And the Chiefs are going to try to be aggressive, and it looks like they're trying to throw the ball downfield more than ever. So they have the speed. They have the left tackle. Yeah, there's a few more questions, but they looked equipped. They look equipped to be formidable again, and maybe not have to win by one score as often as they did last year. Maybe be a little more explosive, because it's been a good, not great offense the last 2 years, despite having Mahomes, despite having Andy Reid. Injuries and the left tackle issue have been problems.
Interesting.
Now, again, depth might catch up a little bit on some of their spots, but I think they can offset that by putting a few more points on the board, a little more explosive than they have been the last couple of years. They'll be dangerous, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thinking of our colleague in Kansas City, Alex Gold, he said something like that. I mean, they haven't made six straight Super Bowls, I think. Well, Cincinnati, whatever it is, four out of five or whatever it is. But he said, I think he said they had a different left tackle in every one of their final games.
Yeah, they have. And in the last 2 years, they've been trying a developmental third-round rookie, developmental second-round rookie. Those did not work. When they shorted up with veteran Donovan Smith a couple years ago, and they had Orlando Brown before that, and they had Eric Fisher before that, when they have a dependable left tackle play, that offense has been that much better. So on one hand, it's like, hey, is Mahomes just really fragile to the left tackle spot? It's usually – left tackle, to me, is usually overrated. Like, all the offensive line spots matter, but for whatever reason – Kansas City has had a struggle there having consistency. And if they've solved that, you know, that bodes well, I think, for the Chiefs and their offensive future.
Sure. Just a couple minutes left here with Steve Palazzolo. Check the Mic with Sam Monson, a fine podcast that they host. And Sam's been on our show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Listeners will know many times he was on every week there back in the PFF days for a couple of seasons. Well, maybe this was inherent to what you were saying before about the Bills, like sort of long game strategy this year. Is there a threat to them in the AFC East? I was talking yesterday, Steve, about how I mean, I listen to a lot of shows, and a lot of them are fantasy shows, but still, everybody seems to like New England right now, and nobody likes Miami. The Jets, you can find people who can talk themselves into Justin Fields, and plenty of people won't be able to do that. What's your feeling on the competition?
I don't think there's a threat for the division. I mean, I think the Bills should win it unless something disastrous happens. I look at New England as a wide range of outcomes. Drake May looked good last year within a terrible situation. That terrible situation should be much better, from the play caller, Josh McDaniels, to the offensive line improvements, to the pass catchers. So I think May should have a decent second season. But if he's really good, you know, maybe not Jaden Daniels good, but in that, approaching that spot, then you're talking about maybe a 9 or 10 win team in New England, plus all the additions they had on defense. They had a ton of money to spend, and they added talent there. New England could be dangerous. But if they also won 6 games coming off of 2 4-win seasons, I also wouldn't be all that surprised. I think Miami is another team that has their baseline can be high. I mean, Tua's still good, and Tyreek Hill, while he's on the roster, still could be really good. And Jaylen Waddle, like, they could put points on the board, but they always hit a ceiling, which was other good teams, even when they had better talent. So they've taken a hit talent-wise, and they were already struggling to beat the best teams in the NFL. So that's why I think people are soured on Miami. And then the Jets, I think they're in the middle of a rebuild. They're kind of talented. I think Fields raises it. It's a high floor type of team with Fields. Like, they'll be competitive, maybe slow the game down, try to play good defense, run the ball. But yeah, I don't think they're scary as far as the division goes. But if they won 7 or 8 games, you know, playing an ugly brand of football, I also wouldn't be surprised. So I think there's some feistiness in the division, but it's, once again, I think the Bills, they're the biggest favorite in sports books, and I think that's the right way of looking at it. The Bills are the heavy favorites in the East.
One thing that I point out a lot about all that is New England's schedule is kind of incredible for how soft it is. Their first 13 games, I mean, if they're competent, they're going to win 8 or 9, I think, based on who they play. They are here in Week 5. And they have a Buffalo-Baltimore back-to-back late. But then it's the Jets and Dolphins again. So if they're any good, I think they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I could see that. Like, I liked Drake May coming out. I thought he showed a lot of good stuff last year. Again, you know, it's tough to know, okay, did he really just struggle because the offensive line was awful and he had no one to throw to? Or was he just making rookie mistakes? So yeah, if Drake May took a huge step this year, wouldn't be surprised. I think he'll be good. They're relying on some rookies on the offensive line, which is risky. Even though I think they'll be good, sometimes that takes a year or two for the rookies to gel. Defensively, they added some impact talent. Christian Gonzalez at corner, he's hurt right now, but when he's back, a pretty good 1-2 punch with him and Carlton Davis at corner, and some of the pass rush that they've added. Yeah, some depth on that defensive line that they've added. So, yeah, I think New England will be, on paper, they're much improved from a roster perspective over the last 2 years, but they're still young and have to put it all together.
Last thing, Steve, who would be, if you have one, a dark horse in the league, somebody that would be minus money to make the playoffs, maybe even by quite a bit, that you think will be better than most people?
I think in the NFC West, that's the one division I wouldn't be surprised if any team won out of the four. So the Seahawks have the lowest odds to win the division. I picked them to win the division on our pick show.
Okay.
I think Seattle has another wide range of outcomes. If they can get good Sam Darnold again, I think their run game could be much improved with a different scheme that they've implemented, the Shanahan-Kubiak scheme. I think their defense, too, really good depth on the defensive line. Second year with Mike McDonald as head coach, a great 1-2 punch with Tariq Woolen and Devin Witherspoon at corner. So I think Seattle's built a pretty deep roster the last couple of years. A lot will come down to what Darnold can do in his first year there. And the Arizona Cardinals, so it's those two NFC West teams. I think Arizona's trending in the right direction. Love all the pass rushes that they've added. I think Jonathan Gannon's done a really nice job competing with the lesser roster the last 2 years, and now he's got at least a mid-tier type of roster, which I think makes the Cardinals a lot more dangerous than they've been the last couple seasons.
Very good. Keep up the good fight against the shouty shows. I like to just totally ignore them, but it is good content, so I'm glad you're out there breaking some of these ridiculous comments down. I appreciate that personally.
I feel like the shouty shows are losing people left and right, and it's all since we started that segment on the mic, so we'll keep pushing it.
We're going to win the war, right, Steve? That's the plan.
That's right. That's right. Have to do it.
Enjoy the season. Thanks a lot for today.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Steve Palazzolo, Check the Mic with Sam Monson. shouty shows, like all those, all your favorites, ESPN, Fox, where like a steady diet of things that said loudly that you know the person saying them does not really think or believe. I mean, who has any interest in time for that? Well, millions of people, apparently, because that's, I guess, one way you can do it. That's not as a rule. I mean, you don't have to be disingenuous to be rich and famous, but the guys at the top of that heap, just, what is it like to just be knowingly wrong, willfully ignorant all the time and have it work for you? Like, what is that really like? Sports, politics, what does it feel like to go home? Probably pretty good. Somebody's probably cooking for you. Your bed is made. I don't know. It's sad. Next, your calls, if you've got them, 803-0550. We've covered a lot already. AFC East, Jordan Poyer is back. The Bills roster stuff from yesterday. Is anybody worried about the season? Is that a thing that Bills fans are like thinking about, feeling at this point? How worried can you be? Mike Schoep here. Brian Koziol will join me in an hour to talk a little bit about the Ryder Cup. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.